Show your grace to us, O God, as we wait before your throne of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for a specific religious feast near one of the gates to the city of Jerusalem. It's worth observing that this man who had been there 38 years, Jesus had passed by this man many, many times before. But on this particular day, this particular time, the Spirit of God moved in Jesus, and he stopped. He was there by the sheep gate, this man, and there was a pool there. We're told it's called Bethesda. There's a legend about this pool, that an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. And when the waters were stirred, the first one into the pool would be healed. Would be healed, physically healed. And for this reason, a whole number of disabled persons used to lie near the pool. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And there was one man, we don't know his name, who had been there. And as I said, had been there 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he spoke to him, and then he healed him. And Jesus spoke three simple phrases or sentences to the man. And each sentence is sort of a step, if you would, a truth, a phase in the process of becoming whole. Not only for this man, I think, but for anyone, for all of us. We'll see in the story, wholeness is not just a process of Jesus changing our circumstances. Healing this illness and solving this problem and providing this miracle, that was part of it. But that's not all of it. Wholeness is the process of Jesus changing us. Changing us. Not only on the outside, but also on the inside. Each one of us needs the healing touch of God. You'll never without that need. We need to be whole. We need to be strengthened. We need to be enabled for this life. It's what we call sanctification in a big churchy word. That process of becoming more Christ-like, bit by bit, one degree of glory to another, as the NIV says, into the image of Christ. Sometimes it may seem like our life isn't going to really change much, spiritually or physically. That life is just what it is, and you just have to dog it through to the other end. That's not the abundant life that Jesus promised we would have. Might seem that way sometimes, but that's not the abundant life that Jesus promised. That's not the life of victory. That's not the life that Paul said that we were to be, in a sense, super overcomers in this world. This word from God tells us not only that we can be whole, but God wants to make us whole. He wants to make us new again and again and again, over and over and over, becoming more Christ-like each step of the way, being transformed through the power of Christ. Now look at how Jesus touched this man's life. The first words that he spoke to them, and that he would say to any need that we might have, do you want to get well? Do you want to? It's an interesting question, isn't it? It's an interesting question to ask a man who's been sick for 38 years. Do you want to get well? Oh, yeah. What do you think he's going to say? You know, it seems like obvious, doesn't it? You know, Jesus has a knack of asking the obvious. He just gets right to the core of it, doesn't he? The obvious answer would be, sure, I want to get well. Why do you think I'm here? Why do you think I'm by this pool? But more interesting than the question is the man's response. He says in verse 7, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else gets ahead of me. Instead of simply telling Jesus, yes, of course, sure. This man started out by giving him reasons why he wasn't healed, why he couldn't be made well. Well, I have no one to help me into the pool. Someone always gets there before I do. He's making excuses, isn't he? This man had been an invalid for so long. It had taken such a toll on him that all he could see were the reasons why he could never get better. He'd given up on the idea of hope. He'd given up on the idea of fully and completely embracing the life that God would have for him. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had asked him a question infused with possibility, but he didn't hear the question, did he? He could only see his situation, his circumstances. You know, I think Jesus asks this question all the time. Same question. He asks you and me this question. I fear that some of us are so far removed from the idea of hope that we can only respond with an excuse. Jesus, I've had this problem. How many years? I've been this way. I was born this way. We hear that a lot. All these other kinds of things. All my life. It's just who I am. I've tried before. There's no one to help me. There's no hope for me. We deny the promise with excuses. Let me challenge us all today to stop thinking about the many reasons why something can't be done. Especially with reference to God. When God comes and says, "Do you want to be well?" That's a possibility. Do you want to be whole? That's a possibility. You want to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations? That's not a dream, a pipe dream. It's not something he just sends out there. No, that's a real possibility. Not for them, for us. Not for him, but for me. Jesus doesn't challenge us or call us to do anything that is impossible, maybe for us in our own abilities, but not for him. Not for him. And we should never deny the possibilities with excuses. Start thinking about the possibilities that God wants to bring into your life. Start thinking about the possibilities that God would want to bring into our church. Start thinking about the wholeness that God wants to give us. We already know why it can't be done. You know, think of things that can be done. Allow yourself to imagine wholeness. What would it look like? What would it feel like? Allow yourself to imagine healing, spiritual healing, physical healing even. Imagine deliverance. What are we talking about with that? What would that look like? Imagine liberty, being set free, truly free, inside. Forget all the failed attempts of yesterday, the accumulated disappointments over the years, and focus on the simple response, the simple question, do you want to get healed? It's a loaded question, because wellness comes with responsibility. But unless we ask that question, we'll never move on to the next step. You know, a well man can't spend his days laying by a pool begging, can he? He wouldn't have that reason. He can't depend on his friends and families and generous strangers to feed him and clothe him. He has to work. He has to take care of himself. He may even and should be looking out for others around him to the best of his ability. So the simple yes or no question that Jesus is asking, are you ready to take on are you ready to take on the responsibility that wholeness brings? Do you really want to get up out of that pool? Do you really want to get away from being a cripple, an invalid, physically or spiritually? Think about it. And think about, you know, your life. Where are you struggling today? Where are you struggling? What is your spiritual struggle? What's your biggest struggle with God? Are you dealing with sin? Weakness? Maybe you've tried turning over a new leaf and a new leaf and a new leaf and a new leaf. You've tried jumping into some magical pool to make your problems go away. Maybe you've completely settled into despair or just for the status quo. Well, this is as good as it gets. I want you to think about what the possibility of being whole might look like and the responsibilities that it will then bring. Ask yourself, do I want this? Do I really want to get well? And put those same questions now up against your marriage, up against your relationship with God, up against your job or your health or our relationships with one another. Stop thinking of failures and disappointments and rejection. Start thinking of the impossibilities that God's power can bring into your life. The next words that Jesus spoke to this man, get up. I love it. Pretty blunt. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Verse 9, he says, at once the man was cured when he said that, when he picked up that mat. He was cured, and he picked up his mat and he walked. Went right out of there. I want you to realize that part A of this verse would have remained true even if part B had never taken place. Part A, at once the man was cured. He was cured. He was well. It wasn't dependent upon him picking up his mat. It was dependent upon Jesus saying, you're well. You're cured. Jesus said, you're cured. That's part A. Part B, he picked up his mat and he walked. The man made a choice, didn't he? He made a choice to get up and walk. He made a choice to act on his healing, on his wellness. He could have stayed in bed. He could have stayed there by the pool. He could have continued to beg. He could have continued to live his life avoiding responsibilities. But he didn't. He could have objected to Jesus' command, saying, you don't know what you're asking. But he didn't. He got up and he walked. And he started doing what Jesus told him and was encouraging him to do. You know, I'm a firm believer in physical healing. Jesus can and will and does heal our bodies. We can get up and walk when Jesus says, get up and walk. He is the healer, as the scripture teaches. But this isn't just about physical healing. In fact, it's very little about physical healing. It's about healing in every area of our life. Jesus is saying to each one of us, in some area of our life, get up and walk. He's not saying, try to roll over into the pool one more time. He's not saying, wait around, that angel will show up, and one day you'll be fast enough. He's saying, get up and move forward with your life. Get up and do at least that part that you know you should be doing. Whatever it is, whatever we're struggling with, whatever has chained us to the past, there is a way to get up and walk. Jesus makes that way. So get up. Start moving forward, whatever way you can. When Jesus spoke to this man, he healed his body, sure. But he didn't solve all his problems, did he? Now, we sort of think that once Jesus has touched us, that everything's perfect from there on out. And that's never the truth. Jesus gave this man the ability to walk. But he didn't give him a house or a job or a wife. The man had a whole lot of moving forward still to do. And that's true for all of us who are touched by God. Jesus empowered him to take the first step. And that's what he does with all of us. And then when we take that step, he will empower us for the next and the next and the next. But not until we make that choice. Now I want you to think for a moment, what might be your first step toward wholeness, toward a better life, Are you ready to take it? John tells us that when the man began walking around, sure enough, the Pharisees showed up and they asked him, what's going on, you know? And what did he do? What did this man now who had been miraculously healed, what did he do? He placed the blame. He placed it right on Jesus, although he didn't know his name at that first moment. They said, the Pharisees, it's the Sabbath, and the law forbids you to carry your mat around. What are you doing? He said, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And he was being obedient. He was doing what Jesus, he had made that choice. He was doing what Jesus said to do. He was acting on his wholeness. He'd been healed, but he hadn't quite been made totally whole. Before he was making excuses, now he's placing blame. But he's on the way, okay? He's on the way. We're always on the way. We're in process of going from here to there. And we'll hopefully get better each little step of the way. I want you to understand that being made whole is a process. Like I said, that big word we use, sanctification. And it takes time. Processes take time. God will work in your life today. He will answer prayer. He will provide a miracle. He will do great things in your life. And sometimes, still, you won't respond right away. Sometimes, we still have a tendency to place blame or avoid responsibility or, you know, make excuses, just like the man in this story. And so, Jesus had a third thing that he said in this story to this man. And John writes in verse 14, later Jesus found him at the temple. See, there's another part, a rest of the story, if you would. And he says, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. That seems so strange, doesn't it? Jesus said, sin no more. Stop sinning, in the ESV. Many people would say, well, what does that mean? The man was just healed. He hadn't hardly had time enough to do much sinning, although he was making some excuses and placing a little blame. You know, sin comes pretty naturally to most of us. What sins had he been committing the past 38 years? He'd been laying there by the pool. He wasn't out carousing around or getting drunk or, you know, doing all those kind of things. What sins? What sins are Jesus referring to? When you look at the story, this man's sins become kind of glaringly obvious. There's sin of doubt, sin of not trying, sin of self-pity, making excuses, placing the blame, we talked about those, not taking responsibility, sin of selfishness. Jesus said to him, in effect, you have a new life. You don't have to live like you did yesterday. You can live in a new way. And the future is wide open for you, full of possibilities. Accept what I have done for you and move forward in your life. And he says the same thing to us. There are sins in our life. We don't like to talk about that word much, but there are. It's a real thing. They're sins and they keep us chained. They keep us chained to the past. They keep us chained to the familiar. They keep us chained to what is possible in our little world, in our little mind. And we've got to decide that we're going to move them out of our life. To, by the power of God, put as much distance as we can between us and sin. Those little sins, like I said, sins of doubt, little things, but big things. Jesus said, stop sinning, or what? Or something worse may happen to you. What worse could possibly happen? What worse? What is the effect of us just keeping the status quo in our life, even in our church? What is the effect of us just, well, we'll just do what we've been doing. I'll just keep living the same way I've been living. What is the something worse? Was Jesus saying we'd get sick again? Probably not. At least I don't think so, not to this man. I think the something worse would be if this man was healed only in his body. and not in spirit. Something worse would be if he were able to walk and then his life just remained empty and meaningless. Something worse would be if his body was made well and he never overcame his tendency to place blame or make excuses or avoid responsibility or any of those other things. He's not interested in merely changing our situation. Remember that. God wants to change us. Becoming whole isn't about getting money. It isn't about getting just over a sickness or a condition, a need. It isn't about finding a relationship that we're longing for or needing. It's about becoming the person that God wants you to be, created you to be. It's about running away from the past, turning that page so that God can fill the future with His grace and His blessing. Think about it. If things aren't the way we think they should be, if your life isn't the way you think it should be, if our church life together isn't the way we think it should be or we want it to be, maybe we've been struggling with sin and failure and pain and affliction and sorrow and hopelessness and all those things too long. We've been hiding it because we thought it was just the only option. And today Jesus is asking, do you want to get well? You really want something to happen. You want to be made whole. No excuses. Are you ready to accept the responsibility, your part in making that happen? Then take up your mat. Take up your mat. In what area of your life, pick it up. Pick those things up and start moving forward. Do it. Decide now what you want. Decide that you want nothing to do with the sins that have kept you where you are. The sins that have paralyzed you. The chains of yesterday. The sins of making excuses. Placing blame. Thinking this is as good as it gets. Decide now that you will accept the opportunity for wholeness that Jesus is extending to you. He's not offering just to change your situation. He wants to change your life. He wants to change everything about you for His glory, for your blessing. He wants to make us whole. Can we hear that offer? Can we accept that offer?